Would you grab your swords tonight? And don't hurt anybody. Turn to Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into where? Now he was led by the Spirit into the where? Wilderness. To be tempted by the devil. So Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Does everybody get it? Hello? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Why? Because the devil knew he was hungry. He just fasted 40 days and 40 nights. But he answered and said to him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God." Every one of us, now we have a teaching called Wilderness Revelation or something like that, but I want to share with you about wilderness experiences. Everybody goes through wilderness experiences. When you feel like you're the only one, well, that ain't the truth. You're not the only one. Somebody's always in worse condition than you, so, you know. In these wilderness experiences, it's testing. Testing happens in the wilderness. Testing doesn't happen on the mountaintop. It happens in the valley, what we call the wilderness. See, you make it to the mountaintop and go, "Whoa, all right!" And then next thing you know, you're on your way down to another wilderness experience. Amen? So we all go through wilderness experience. Again, the first purpose of the wilderness experience is testing to see if you're applying what you learn to fight the enemy. It's the first thing God does. He wants to know if you are applying what you've learned to fight the enemy. Does everybody get it? So in your wilderness experience that you sometimes believe that you're the only one, you're not alone. There's demons all around you. Hallelujah. But in that, God is checking out the first thing, whether you are putting to practice what you've learned how to fight. That is one of the first things he checks out. Because, you know, you've been praising and worshiping already. You've been staying filled. You've been doing all kinds of things. Things have just seemed to be going great. You're smooth. You're, you know, and then all of a sudden, poof. You've been kicked off the mountaintop into the wilderness. Jesus was the prime example of what happens in our lives. Now, he had a mission to fulfill. And we have a mission to fulfill, but we must fulfill that mission. And we get tested in the wilderness. Now, God always makes a way of escape to get out of the wilderness. Amen? So there's a process. There's certain things he's going to test you while you're in the wilderness to see if you pass. Now, let me share something with you. Until you pass all the things, you won't come out of the wilderness. Hello? That means you go into a cycle. It's a cycle of delay. And in that cycle of delay, God will retest you over and over and over until you get it. And then he releases you from the wilderness, goes back to the mountaintop, but you can be 100% guaranteed you'll go back to the wilderness for the next test. Amen? Is everybody okay? So what's the wilderness for? Testing. Testing. What's the first thing? You see if you're applying what you learned and how to fight the enemy. If you haven't, or you're not applying it, even though you know it, if you're not applying it, you'll stay there. You'll recycle. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Let's speak it, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will what? Hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The second thing that God examines us is the intent of the heart. The intent of the heart. And well, he exposes all rebellion. He's exposing what? All rebellion. What's he trying to find out? Whether you really know him. Whether you know his unction. Whether you know his voice. He examines the intent of your heart and exposes all rebellion. This is why you're in the wilderness. 1 Peter chapter 1. Does God know the beginning from the end? Yes. Yeah, he certainly does. So he knows what he has. So he's trying to get you to fulfill the end. He's trying to get you to fulfill your call, purpose, and destiny. So he brings you in the wilderness. And if he sees, let me tell you, sometimes people have to go in the wilderness sooner than required. Because there's too many things that they've gone astray on. Too many things that they didn't obey. You know, we just did a teaching on the difference between a disciple and a Christian, you know. And there's a difference. And what is God trying to do? Raise up true disciples, true warriors. Why? Because we're in a war. And people are being drafted into the kingdom of God. As military. Too many people are still playing foo-foo out there. They believe that just because they're a Christian, they can do whatever they want. And they're going to make it home, and that ain't true. See, rebellion to God's will keep you in a cycle of delay. You won't advance. You'll learn. But until everything gets fixed, according to God's way, reconciled, and sanctified, that has been gone astray or been contaminated, you'll stay in that circle of delay. It's a constant repeat. Does everybody understand? Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You know, God is what we call tightening things up. Because a lot of things are about to be released and happen. In verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials or testings. That the what? Genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen you love, Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, so the third thing that God examines is your faith or your connection with him to see if you're actually what we call genuine or generic. To see if you're what? Genuine or generic. You can go to the pharmacy and get generic medication, but it isn't genuine, you know. Hallelujah. To examine your faith, your connection with him, to see if you're genuine or generic. These are the areas of the experiences of the wilderness. Why? Because he wants to know if you're consistent. He wants to know if you're faithful. If you're faithful in the little things, he gives you more. One of the things that God is always looking for is honesty. Honesty. If you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with him. People think, oh, I'd never lie to God. Well, people lie to God every day and don't even realize it. Honesty is vital. And when, you know, you've fallen to a place of take responsibility. Just take your responsibility. Amen? When you fall in, that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for you to justify, reason, condemn, complain, or blame somebody else. Take your responsibility and pay the price. And when you do, God responds to that. Why? Because he knows that you're honest. Honesty is a great key. Jeremiah 18. One is God tests you to see if you learned how to fight. Put it into practice. The second thing he does is examine the intent of your heart and expose all rebellion. The third thing he does is examine your faith, your connection with him, and see if you're genuine or generic. The fourth thing is Jeremiah 18, verse 1. Jeremiah 18. Is everybody okay? It's very quiet in here tonight. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. Let's speak it together if you're there. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word. Cause. I'm going to say cause. Why would he have you go down? Why would he have you go to a place to cause you to hear? Because you missed it. Amen? So he's saying, all right, man, I got to step in. Now I got to cause something to happen. Because you're not listening, he's saying. You're not hearing. Verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. Now the wheel is a representation of the anointing of God. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord. Look at the clay, is it in the potter's hand? And so are you in my hand, O house of Israel, says the Lord. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to plow down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. That's what's happened to the United States for the last 50 years, ever since the abortion was approved. Does everybody get it? God held back the true blessings That's why you had all these morons come into presidents. What we're seeing now is a result of God holding back the blessings because they've all fulfilled positions and spaces now. But now that people have turned and repented, God is now exposing them all so they can be removed. In fact, today, the House Speaker got removed. Hallelujah. They voted him out. Who's a Republican, but he's actually a rhino. Amen? So that's a good thing. Verse 11, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. So in the wilderness experience, we go on the wheel. We are chastened by the Lord. And if he sees something, he'll crush it and expose it. Remember, he's always trying to expose our enemies, but he's exposing our contaminations. He's exposing demonic spirits that are hindering us. He examines obedience to his voice and allowing him to remold you at any time. You know, Paul said something powerful. He says, I've become many things that I may save the different people. I became many things to many people so that I might save them. Paul became pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit. He said, if I need to be a Jew, I'll be a Jew. If I need to be a Christian, I'll be a Christian. If I need to be this, I'll be that. Whatever it was, he turned and submitted to the Spirit so that he could rescue souls. Amen? So in this, God is examining our obedience to his voice. In other words, he wants to know if we're willing to shift, go another direction, come out of our continuous routines. Amen? Examine obedience to his voice and allowing him to remold you and me at any time. We must become pliable. Everyone say pliable. That's the fourth thing. Is God is he's checking to see if you know his voice and become pliable. Amen? James chapter 5. I got about 100 things he wants to do in the wilderness, but we'll only do 10 of them. Oh, glory. James chapter 5, in verse 7. Glory. What's that say? Therefore be what? Anxious? Oh, patience. Oh, okay. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it reaches the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not what? Grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of the sufferings and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intent of the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Okay, so the fifth thing is a combination. It's patience, endurance, and your tongue. He examines your patience, your endurance, and your tongue. He's looking to see if you have dominion over those. Amen? patience, endurance, and your tongue. Psalm 40. So if you're a grumbler, you think you're going to come out of that wilderness right away? Are you going to fall into the cycle of delay? Yes. You know, those individuals, their famous word is but. Because they live in the but ministry. They're but butters and but buts. Everything's but. Because they're always trying to put themselves first. Amen? But. Hallelujah. What did I say to go? Psalm 40, thank you. That's a moped, you know, but. And a rice burner is a me, right? And a Harley's a come out. Woohoo! Psalm 40. Let's speak it. Verse 1. I did what? I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Why? Because he waited what? Patiently. And established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Why? Because you will now be an example. Let me share something about the wilderness experience. It's so that you become a mightier witness. Does everybody get it? Why? So Jesus can express himself more through you. Exodus 14, verse 10. Now we know that the Israelites were under captivity and bondage for over 400 years under the rule and authority of Pharaoh in Egypt. Amen? In Egypt. They were slaves there. And so when the Lord, as we sang that song, visited Moses, told him to kick off his shoes and stay a while, and he began to give him direction, he told him, I want you to go set my people free. And when you go see Pharaoh, tell him to let them go because I want them to come out to worship me. In other words, to serve me. It says, when Pharaoh drew nearer, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, when Pharaoh finally, after the 10th plague, released the Israelites, Pharaoh changed his mind and decided to go after them. Amen? Now, God looked at the Israelites as the army of Israel. So he was like, okay, I'm going to let the army of Israel come out from bondage. Because the Israelites were the army of Israel. They were his army. In verse 11, then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we were told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should be dead in the wilderness. So they were grumbling and complaining. That's why they stayed in the wilderness for a while, 40 years. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. So they were coming, they were at the end of the edge, you know. They had nowhere to go. They were either going to jump off the cliffs into the sea and die, or God was going to intervene. How many times has God intervened at your last moment? Amen? So, see, the wilderness experience brings you to the edge of your end of yourself. Amen? But lift up your rod and stretch your hand out over the sea, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, this is what the Lord told Moses, but the people were still freaking out because they were seeing the Egyptian army coming after them. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over the Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went before them. And the pillar of cloud went before them and stood before and behind them. So it came to pass between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, thus it was a cloud and a dark to one, and it gave light by night into the other, so that the one did not come nearer the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into a dry land, and the waters were divided. So all night, it says, this was going on. But God was holding back the Egyptian army with his fire and a cloud. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were walled to them, and on the right side and on the left side. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, and Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels. Sneaky daddy. He dismantled their chariots. Their wheels fell off. Come on, think about this. God took off their wheels. Hello? He didn't steal them. He just took them off. And so he took off the chariot wheels. I love it. I wish we had that on film. We'll have to watch those when we have one night at movies when we go home, you know. History of creation, something like that. So that they drove them with difficulty, and the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." So, can you imagine? They were dragging these chariots. The horses were falling over and everything. They were like, "Whoa, we can't even move." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Okay, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and on their chariots and on their horsemen." They got stuck. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. Wow. The sixth thing is when you're in the wilderness, he wants to show you who he is. There will be a Red Sea moment as you pass the testing in the wilderness. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because he rewards you. He says, when you complete what I ask you to do, I'll release the promise. He will reward you. So he wants to show you who he really is, and he will reward you with Red Sea moments of revelation. How many of y'all know we're entering a Red Sea moment? The world calls it, the hunt for Red October, you know. But we're in October. We're fulfilling the feast now, the Feast of Tabernacle and everything. We're getting ready for a Red Sea moment. It's not working. Ooh. So we're getting ready for a Red Sea moment. Does everybody understand that? The body of Christ. The disciples are getting ready for a Red Sea moment. Things are going to happen that you can't comprehend, believe, and think that you were worth it. But it's going to happen. Little things. Sometimes it doesn't all come at once. Sometimes it comes little things. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But they're called Red Sea moments. Hallelujah. In James chapter 4, in verse 1. Let's speak. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you don't receive it because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Or cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Wow. The seventh thing is God exposes your worldliness, an area of pride. Pride. What's he trying to do? Bring you to a place of humbleness. Can God use a prideful person? No. I mean, he can use any person, but a person, no flesh shall glory. So is rebellion associated with pride? Yes, it is. God exposes your worldliness and pride so that you can be free. Wilderness experience. Why? Because we want to come out of that cycle of delay. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it a man if he gains a whole world and loses himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Again, here he comes again with, you know, exposing. He's not only exposing the wilderness, but he's trying to bring us to a place where we have denied ourselves, what we call the next level of death. The next level of what? Death. A new level of death to deny yourself. That's the eighth thing he does in the wilderness, to bring you to a new level of death to deny yourself. And you know, you may think, well, man, I've denied everything so far. And then all of a sudden, ooh. No, you haven't. There's always things. And there's things we pick up and don't even realize it. Hallelujah. A new level of death, that's the eighth thing. Well, number eight means new beginning. So without a new level of death, you're not going to get a new beginning, are you? Psalm 103, verse 1. This is the ninth thing. Let's speak it together. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with new things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Wow. Again, the ninth thing is God is trying to bring us to a fresh reality of covenant promises. A fresh reality to the covenant promises and his mercy of love. He's always looking to bring a fresh reality to these things. So many times we begin to drift from it. And going into wilderness will bring a fresh reality of his covenant promises and his mercies of love. Do you ever notice when things are struggling, you begin to quote more scriptures if you're doing the right thing? What you looking for? Fresh reality. Amen. Glory. You're looking for another fresh revelation. So the ninth thing God does is in the wilderness is brings us to a fresh reality of covenant promises and his mercy of love. And the tenth and final one, we won't go to the other 90, is in Revelation 12, in verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars, or the angels of heaven, and threw them to the earth. And a dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That woman now is us. We have 3.5 years of Jubilee. Does everybody understand? 3.5 years of Jubilee we have entered. We are the woman in the wilderness, but not in a wilderness of judgment. It's a place of protection from God. Things have turned around now. And now we're in a 3.5 year time of Jubilee where things must be restored. And everything. I really believe that things are going to be restored. People's health is going to be restored. Finances, all kinds of things are going to happen. We're seeing things happen slowly, but in real time, things are moving fast, very fast. But in the things that we want to see happen, it seems to move slow. You know what I'm saying? You know, we want God to wipe out every demon from the face of the earth right now. But it's not happening that way. He's got a process that he does. And in this process, we're going to see everything happen. We just saw again today the removal of the Speaker of the House. He was removed. Because he didn't keep his promises. This is just these are simple signs. Wait till you see the others. How many didn't keep their promises in the government? How many people are there that are traitors? Treasonous? We're going to see that all happen. Amen? Look at how much abuse they've done to this man, Donald Trump. Because they fear him. That's the only reason why. They're trying to prevent him from becoming president. But he doesn't have to show up at anything. He's going to get elected no matter what. He doesn't have to go out and debate nothing. The world has seen the evilness come against this man and all those that promote the evilness that comes against this man. Why? Because God's hand's on him. Now, there's something that the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Why? Because God will destroy you. And he's an anointed from God. Remember when King David had the opportunity to kill King Saul, and he said, no, that's the Lord's anointed. Does everybody understand that? So in this, even God, in our wilderness experiences, God is bringing us to a place of reverence, honor, and respect of more of him, of more of the things that he does. You know, coming out of anything that's complacent or just... People become familiar with the things of the kingdom and begin to not look at them as righteous and holy, just another thing. God's kingdom is holy. His people are to be holy. Amen? We're to walk in the righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Spirit and express who he is. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. Amen? There's only one perfect, and that's him. The only one. Amen. But as you go through your wilderness experience, learn from it. And as you learn from it, you won't stay in that cycle of delay. You'll be released from it. Amen. Or you go back into it. And why? Because we're about to see everything change. You know, the world is never going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. It's changed already. And it's constantly changing. And we've got to be willing to shift with the Holy Spirit and become all things that many can be saved. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask you to protect the seed that's been imparted in us so that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive what your Spirit said tonight, that we may be prepared for the next wilderness experience and not get caught in the cycle of delay, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.